Now? That's better? Okay, one of these days we'll learn. I'll learn. I don't know, maybe. Let me pray real quick and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you, God, that it's a beautiful day. Thank you, God, that you're a fantastic, wonderful God. And I just pray that I can speak clearly, get out of the way of your word, Lord, and that you'll speak to all of us. And I just want to thank you, God, that for what you've done for us, what you've made available to us. And I just pray that it'll be clear to us. And I pray, Lord, each of us will hear what you want us to hear today. In your son's name, amen. Okay, we just finished the book of 1 John last week.
Just slip in here.
How's that?
That's better.
I couldn't tell. Could you tell? Okay. Anyhow, he knows what he's doing. I know that. What? What was I going to say? We finished the book of 1 John last week. Written by the Apostle John when he's in his 80s or 90s, something like that. He was the last living apostle of the original 12. Now we're going to start a book called Colossians. Okay. And this letter was written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, okay? But this is one of the places, one of the churches that Paul did not start, okay? A fellow named Epaphras started this church. And anyhow, we're going to be looking into it, and this is titled Insights into the Gospel, okay? And it's been quite a morning, and one thing I was thinking about this morning is, what are we really talking about here? We're talking about what the Bible refers to as the gospel, and that word was always a word that just sort of was fuzzy to me. I didn't really know what it meant, and I found out later that a better translation of that message is the good news, okay? And once I found out what that message was, well, to me, it wasn't good news. It was fantastic news. It was so good, I had to check it out about 100 different ways to verify that I was hearing this thing correctly, okay? And maybe some of you people are the same way, but before we get into it, I think everybody's heard or knows John 3:16. If you go to ball games, you've probably seen signs up or something like that. But anyhow, John 3:16 basically says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Now that's what it says, that's all it says, whoever believes in him or trusts in him has eternal life. And I remember questioning people, oh, what about all of my sins and so forth? Well, once you place your trust in Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins, he forgives your sins, all of them. And I would say, well, I've heard that. But then after he forgives all your sins, then you got to walk the chalk and never sin again. I tried that. That did not work for me at all. All right. But I found out, no, that's not what it's saying. What it's really saying is God forgives all of your sins, past, present, and future, and adopts you into his family, and you're totally secure at that point for all eternity. I tried to break that message down and interpret it other ways, every way I possibly could, and I finally became convinced this is true, okay? And there's a lot of very nice, educated, patient people who worked with me. All right. Now, what we're going to be talking about today, as I said, is the book of Colossians, insights into the gospel, the good news. Okay. So let's just get into it. If you got a Bible, turn to Colossians. I strongly advise that you bring a Bible to these studies and follow along however you can. Mark them up. Mark your Bible up. And when you do that, it's just easier to find your way around later. All right. Paul wrote this letter. Colossae, by the way, was a town in what's now modern Turkey. Colossae was about 100 miles roughly from a town called Ephesus, which we've talked about. Ephesus was a city where Paul had founded the church there, the Apostle Paul. And Colossae, as I said, is about 100 miles away. The church was started by a fellow named Epaphras. Colossae was his hometown, as I understand. And once he heard this message that I'm talking about right at the beginning, he took this message to Colossae, spread it around to people, and this church springs up. And it was a pretty healthy church, okay? Until a bunch of false teachers came in, which this happens repeatedly in the Gospels, in the Bible, that God's message will get started and then a bunch of false teachers will come in and try to twist it one way or the other. So it's not the gospel any longer, it's just a false message. And that's what false teachers are excellent at. Anyhow, these false teachers had come into Colossae and they're teaching all sorts of stuff. It's all false. We're teaching Jewish legalism, where, you know, you got to earn your way to God. They were teaching Greek philosophy mixed in with it. Along with that, they threw in a little angel worship, you know, just for good measure. They had dietary laws. Supposedly you had to follow a certain diet and everything if you're going to really be with God. And last but not least, they fostered or pushed what you call asceticism, which is simply a harsh treatment of the body, thinking that somehow or another this is going to win God's, you know, favor. I mean, there's stories of people actually whipping themselves and stuff like this. Anyhow, Epaphras may have learned a message of the gospel from the Apostle Paul. We don't know, but we do know he knew Paul. And Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote this letter, and Epaphras may have been in prison with him. We don't know, but we do know he talked to Paul about what can we do for this church in my hometown. So what Paul does, Paul writes a letter from jail, from the prison, and to help these believers who are being confused, probably unsure, did we really get this right? And all these sorts of things, starting to doubt. So he writes this letter. And I want to add one more thing here about this message. The devil hates this message. He hates it. And I'll tell you the reason he hates it. He hates it because God loves it, because this is the message that people get saved by. Insights into the gospel. Paul wrote this letter, and Paul wrote this in Romans also, and I want you to read this first. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," what we're talking about, "for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The devil hates the message. God loves the message. And that word power in there where he says, "it is the power of God," that's the same word we get our word dynamite from, the root word. I think the Greek where it says power is dynamos or something like that. But it's the same word we get our word dynamite from. Is dynamite powerful? You better believe it's powerful, okay? And the gospel is powerful too. And I personally, and I don't want to get too personal in this, but I personally think the gospel is the best kept secret in the world, the real true gospel. Because you can go into church after church or different places and you'll never hear it. You'll hear some twist on it, but you won't hear the real thing. I mean, there's a lot of churches that do teach the gospel, okay? But there's a lot of them that don't. We want to teach it, and we want you to teach it to other people also. Anyhow, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to people who believe." So this is where the letter starts to Colossians, written by Paul. And he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, an apostle is simply a sent one of Jesus Christ. And Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Where he says brethren, that takes in men and women, by the way. To the saints was simply a word for Christian, okay? To the Christians and faithful believers in Christ who are at Colossae. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So Paul starts this letter out to these folks, and he doesn't start the letter saying, now these people who are teaching this are wrong, and the people who are teaching that are wrong. None of that stuff is right, and here's what blah, blah, blah. He starts out by reminding the Colossians who they are, who they really are. And I think in this world, it helps a lot for all of us from time to time to be reminded who we are in Christ. Okay? So he starts out reminding the Colossians who they are. Here you go. He says, we're praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, and love which you have for all the believers, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth. The word of truth is another synonym for the gospel. So he describes their faith in Jesus, their love for other believers, and their hope in heaven. Faith, love, and hope. These should be the marks of the everyday Christian. Faith, love, and hope. These are the true marks. I could probably think of some people that come to my mind, but I don't think I need to. I think you can think of people you know that they're simply these kind of people. They exude this faith, love, and hope. Would that we all could. He says, which you previously heard of in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world is also constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you. Also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. I don't think that phrase is in there accidentally. He's saying, I know you really do understand the grace of God in truth. You're not being fooled by any of these twists of it, okay? And some of the twists are, guys, it's just like I said earlier, I thought, well, you know, yeah, God will forgive you up to a certain point, but then you got to walk the chalk. That's not the grace of God, all right? Understood the grace of God in truth. And then where he says, in all the world also, it's constantly bearing fruit and increasing. The message of the gospel doesn't sleep, does it? It's going around all the time from one person to another, usually, okay? And people are listening to it and are deciding one way or the other, this is true or not. But a lot of people are saying, yes, this is true. I've decided it is true. So it doesn't sleep, and it's our privilege. And it's a real privilege. What's the matter? I would never do that. I didn't do it, Mike.
You're clicking for some reason.
I don't click. It's your fault.
I know.
This is my buddy here. I love this guy.
We got to blame somebody.
Click, click, click. Anyhow. Anyhow, the gospel is constantly bearing fruit, is what he's saying. And I think that's very cool. And one of the reasons I think it's very cool is because I know a lot of us will get discouraged. We'll try to share what we know about the gospel with people and we'll think, and nobody's getting saved. That's not true. People are getting saved all around the world, all the time. And that's great. That is great. So let's go on. He said, and he says to them, you understand the grace of God in truth. He's telling them who you are. This is who you are. You're real Christians. You know the real Jesus. You're really going to heaven. You got peace. You got nothing to worry about. And he refers to just as you learned the gospel from Epaphras. Excuse me. Our beloved fellow bondservant who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. What's a bondservant? In this case, a bondservant is simply a voluntary servant. Somebody is volunteering to serve the Lord, right? So, insights into the gospel. That's all the verses we got out of Colossians right now. It's the beginning of Colossians. First eight verses, okay? So, insights into the gospel. Number one, it is a definitive announcement from God himself. It's God announcing true truth the way he sees it. The word of truth, the message that's true. It is not human speculation. The message is from God. It's not one of many messages regarding the gospel. It is the message. And the Greek word, I don't even know why I looked this up, is eugelion, which means good message, okay? Now, the Christian movement sort of stole the word gospel from the Rome, okay? Because the Romans, once in a while, they would announce a gospel according to them. And I'll just give you an example. An example of a gospel from them was something that they'd post wherever for all the people in Rome to Roman Empire to read and understand and align their life along with that gospel or that message, whatever it was. So Augustus Caesar of Rome, he had a peaceful rule, generally speaking, of Rome at that time. There was peace between Rome and Europe and so forth. So they were really touting Augustus Caesar for being a really peaceful ruler. So the heralds went out and they posted these announcements, okay? That effective blah, blah, blah. Everyone was to rearrange their calendar and base it on Caesar's birthday, all right? Little man worship there. But to base their calendar on Caesar's birthday. And I guess most people did that or tried to do it. But still yet, there was no peace in Rome, okay? People lamented the fact that there's no real peace here, you know? There's still racial division, other divisions. There's no peace of mind, peace of heart, but we'll go along with this. And it was in this context that the Christian movement took off. And we announced another gospel, a much greater gospel about a much greater ruler, okay? So it's a definitive announcement. That's the point. Not by man, but by God. Okay. And there's all sorts of prophecies in the Old Testament and so forth about what was coming. And here it is. It's Jesus. The gospel declares, this is what it declares, that Jesus is the Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. I wondered about that for years, frankly. But Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the word that means God's rightful ruler for this world sent by God the Father. The gospel refers to him as Lord, Christ and Lord. And by the way, no human is Lord and no human is Christ. There's Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, and he's the one. And he's identified as being Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. He was crucified by the Romans. died, rose on the third day, and he's alive today. This is the point. He rose from the grave on the third day, and he is alive today, and he always will be. The gospel declares Jesus is the Christ. It doesn't declare that Jesus was the Christ. It declares that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus died, think about this, and he rose again 35 years before Paul wrote this. Paul was serving Jesus as an ambassador then, a live ambassador. And the gospel is not just a historical record of Jesus, okay? The gospel really today is an invitation for people to meet him and serve him, okay? And get eternal life from him. Be forgiven, receive eternal life. And a lot more. I'll just say this. If you're here and you're a believer, you've received eternal life through the gospel, God has a role for you, okay? Whoever you are, he has a role for you in his kingdom. Now, you don't have to fulfill the role. You can say, no, I just want to go to heaven, and you'll go to heaven. But he has a very important role for everyone who says yes to him. Nobody needs to be just a pew setter. I don't care what your situation is. He has a role for you. And he invites you to come to him, to know him. The gospel offers the grace of God. What is the greatest gospel? What's the greatest message there ever was? It's the message of God's grace through Jesus. You know what the word grace means? It's the same word we get the word charity from, the root word. God's charity, God's free, undeserved gift that he wants to give everyone. Paul tells the Colossians in his letter that they understood the grace of God in truth. The grace or the gospel or good news of God. He tells them, you guys got it. You understand what it is. And I've already told you, grace is free, undeserved charity from God to men. And I just want to get this clear, and then we'll go on. But Jesus offers total forgiveness for anyone who places their faith in him. For all time. Adoption into his family. A role in his kingdom. Starting while you're here, not when you get out of here, starting here. Grace is the most valuable and powerful message in this entire world. And I'll tell you what, you know, you want to know who really understood that well? The Apostle Paul. He understood it very well. Paul was known as the Apostle of Grace. He was the one that Jesus chose and said, take this and spread it, okay? And you know what he also told him? I almost listed this in here, but I didn't. Maybe I should have. He also told him, and by the way, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer for doing this. But I'm going to be with you, okay? I'm going to be with you, and I'll get you through it, whatever it is. And Paul jumped at it. Here's what Paul says in Acts. Right now, in this section of Acts, he is leaving. He's speaking to the elders of a church, I believe in Ephesus. And he's leaving and he's going to Jerusalem. And here's what he says. It's up there if you want to read it or your Bible. He says, and now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. What ministry is he talking about? To testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. That was his message. And he was willing to die for it. And he did die for it. Okay. This is later. This is in 2 Timothy. Paul wrote this to right in the end of the book. After he wrote this, shortly after this, he died. He was executed. He was beheaded by the Romans. He says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Okay? You go back, you look at this, he says, I don't count my life as dear to myself so that I may finish my course. All right? And then it's what he says, I fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. And then he goes on to say after that, after this, the crown of righteousness will be given to me, and not just me, but everyone who's placed their faith in Christ and finished their course. Fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. God, I'd love to be able to say that at the end. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be cool? And you know where he says kept the faith? You know what that really means? I read some stuff one time where, and I couldn't believe they said it. They said, it means that Paul never lost his faith in Jesus. That's not what it meant. Okay? What it meant is, I have kept the faith, the body of faith, as I received it. I haven't allowed it to be corrupted by these false teachers, by adding this to it or taking that away from it. And you know, the message of grace is such that if you add anything to it, it's not the message of grace anymore. And if you take anything away from it, it's not the message of grace. It's got to be just as he gave it to Paul, and as Paul passed it on. You know, John 3:16, I quoted that earlier. Two verses down from that, John 3:18, it says, he who believes is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's it. To believe is not like I believe Abraham Lincoln lived, okay? To believe is talking about putting your trust in him, okay? But anyhow, they were saying, well, that meant to Jesus, or that Paul just never lost his faith. That's not what it means. He's saying, I kept it pure. I delivered it as I received it. I remember several years ago, I was starting a business, and I was into the business by that time a little bit and so forth. And there was this young Christian I ran into who was very well versed in the Bible and a very committed Christian. I knew that. And he knew what I was doing, and he was giving me a ride someplace. I forget what it was. And he knew I was learning what Christianity was all about, going to teachings and whatnot, just like you guys. And he said something just out of the side of his mouth, and it almost floored me, and I knew it was absolutely true at the same time. And he said, and I started a business, okay? He said, people in the business world are playing with pop guns compared to what we're doing. People in the business world are playing with pop guns compared to what we're doing. It's not a slam on the business world. The business world is okay. You know, you work, you make money, you sell, you build or whatever. But compared to what they were doing, the business world is playing with pop guns. Because what he was doing and what we're doing here is we're trying to see people's souls get saved. We're trying to see people get peace with God, be totally forgiven, get a new life, live eternally in heaven. With a brand new body, by the way, which, you know, some of us look more and more forward to that every day. But he said that, and that stuck with me. And you know what? As soon as he said it and it dropped on the floor and I heard it, I thought, that's true. At that time, I thought, that's true. And it just gave me more of an appetite to learn more about the whole thing. So, Paul says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. And we can do it too, by the way. You got a course laid out for you by God. I don't know what it is, but you got a course. And it's a course that'll probably challenge you, but you'll also enjoy it, and you'll be rewarded for it in this life and the life to come. Insights into the gospel. The gospel offers the grace of God, and the gospel also gives peace with God to people who embrace the gospel. Peace with God, does that sound inviting? This is in Romans, written by Paul again. And he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, once you say yes to God, it delivers you from God being your judge, who's going to judge you, and makes him your loving heavenly Father. Is that a switch or what? And frankly, for me, from time to time, it's a beautiful thing to think about and remind myself of, because I can easily forget it, because this world has a lot of distractions, doesn't it? But in the midst of all of it, if you take this thing around with you, open it up and read it where it says it. Don't take my word for it. It's in Ephesians, it's in Romans 5:1. So the gospel offers you peace with God. And the gospel also enables you to have peace within yourself. And that's something I think we can all use also. In Philippians, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Tell him what's on your mind. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a huge benefit. And a lot of us, including me, we don't take advantage of this the way we need to a lot of times. He's talking about leaning on God, telling God what's on your mind, what you're concerned about, what you'd like to see happen, whatever. And it'll take away a lot of worry, a lot of anxiousness. It says, be anxious for nothing. Bring God your requests. Be thankful to him. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. When I was looking at this material, two or three times I was reminded of a guy. Actually, he's a neighbor of ours. He got saved here, I don't know, not long ago. But he did absolutely get saved. Okay? And he's not a young dude either. But his wife recently contracted a disease that's killing her over a short period of time. And when he first heard about it, you know, he reacted like a lot of men would, I think, you know. A good friend of his took his gun out of the house. That tells you something, okay? But he continues to come to Bible studies. His wife is in hospice right now. He continues to come to Bible studies, and you can look at him as he's hearing the word taught and hanging out with other believers, and you can see this peace that he's got. I mean, he loves his wife. He hates to even contemplate her dying. But when he's in these Bible studies, he silently, quietly exudes a certain peace that he never, ever had before. And I ran into him the other day. I think it was yesterday, matter of fact. And he was leaving the place where she's staying. And he said hi to him. We started talking. And he said, If I had not, these are my words, okay? He said, if I had not got into those Bible studies with you folks, I would be a basket case right now. Okay? I told him, I understand. I would be a basket case too, okay, if I was in that condition and hadn't got into Bible studies. Yeah. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. It surpasses my comprehension that he can be that composed. It really does. Insights into the gospel gives you peace within yourself, and the gospel gives you hope. Hope in the Bible. When the Bible says hope, it's not saying, I hope Cincinnati wins, or I hope the Browns win, or whatever. I see some faces get twisted there, that last one. But where it says the gospel gives you hope, hope biblically in this nature, in this setting, means confident expectation. Okay? You don't need to fear the future. You don't need to fear your own death. You don't need to fear the next calamity that hits this country or the world. Because God's going to be with you. He's going to get you through it. He's never going to leave you. He says that. He says, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He's going to be with you no matter what. You don't need to fear the future. And Paul tells these Colossians that he knows they have this hope. Where he says here, he says, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the Christians because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. The Colossians knew when it's all said and done, when it's all over, we're going to be in heaven. Jesus called heaven paradise. And we're going to be there for all eternity. And you're going to have a brand new body. You're going to be able to see Jesus face to face, talk with him, hear what he says. Think of all the other people that are there that you're going to want to see. You know, a lot of us have parents who've gone on, friends, brothers, sisters. Think of all those people you're going to be able to hang out with. And it's going to be on a renewed earth, part of it anyhow, which is going to be perfect. Anyhow, confident expectation. And he says, because of the, he says, you have this hope laid up for you in heaven. Every believer's got that hope. Now, change the subject. Two reasons God's grace offers you the ability to love others, because that's one of the things he wants us to do. Now, you could be sitting here right now and thinking, man, that's the farthest thing from my mind, loving others. I just want to get through today. But God says we should love each other, okay? Two reasons. Well, the first reason that you should be doing that or thinking about doing that is the certainty of going to heaven enables you to be freed up to spend this life serving people instead of protecting yourself from them. Serving people instead of protecting yourself from them. And somebody took this advertising phrase and changed it, and they say, you're going to live forever, so give all the love you can. Okay? I like that. You know what the advertising phrase was? It was a beer commercial years ago and said, you only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto that you can get. It was a Schlitz beer commercial, by the way. You got to be fairly old to remember it, though. Anyhow, you're only going to go around once in life. We're not going to come back. Jesus says he's going to reward you for everything you do here, okay, to bring people into the kingdom, okay? Now's the chance. You only have one chance. And once we're gone, we're gone. We're not coming back. And, you know, a lot of times it's you can love people without doing a whole lot sometimes. Just saying the right thing at the right time can really encourage people from time to time. Anyhow, I was surprised personally when I started trying to serve other people. And it took me, I was a believer for some time before I really engaged in that or tried to. And then I discovered it was fun. It was actually fun to do that once I got into it. Now, I'm not talking about going around serving people 8 hours a day or anything like that. I'm just talking about coming along and giving somebody a hand that maybe don't even know that well and getting to know them a little bit and helping them change the tire, I don't know, paint their house or whatever. And I actually found out I enjoyed it. Okay? And seeing people grow spiritually is just the best, just like my neighbor. Okay, seeing the change that's taken place in this man over the past 6 months. Actually, more than that, because before his wife got sick, he was growing then. Anyhow, that's great to be able to serve people that way. And the other reason God's grace offers you the ability to love others is because since you placed your faith in Christ, you've got an ability you don't know about, maybe. Since God's Spirit indwells you from the moment you put your trust in Christ, He enables you to experience Jesus' love and provides motivation and power to give His love to others. You guys know when you accept Christ, His Spirit comes to live in your heart, right? And He doesn't go away, and He's there. And He doesn't try to take over or anything like that. But He does influence you for good from time to time. And if you want to enrich your life, try passing on the love that God gives you to your neighbor, to somebody else. And it doesn't take a lot. Be friendly to people you haven't been friendly to before. Okay? Spend a little bit of time with them. Listen to what they have to say. Get to know them. Philippians says this, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Once you accept Christ, God's Spirit comes in you, and He starts to influence you in different ways. And Philippians comes right out and says it. He's at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So, just let me suggest this. If you start feeling in your spirit that God is nudging you toward somebody else, that you ought to move toward that person, Kendall. Get to know them a little bit, for Pete's sake. Don't be such a loner, okay? Get to know that guy. That's probably God's Spirit urging you that way or urging me that way. It's probably His Spirit at work in you. And it's a good thing. And really, if you'll simply take a shot, you'll find out your life is richer. Seriously. Here's another little verse on God's Spirit coming into you. It says, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth," the gospel, "the good news of your salvation," the gospel, "having also believed, at that time you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." God's Spirit comes into you the moment you place your faith in Christ. And He affects your life in a lot of good ways. I think I've talked about this enough, but your values will change. You'll develop a sensitivity to other people that wasn't there before. And these changes are good. I know I certainly needed all of them, what there's been. And I got a long way to go. Don't look at me as an example. I don't hold myself up that way. I think you guys know that. So, we're going to be learning more about God's grace, message of salvation, the gospel, in the next few weeks. But if there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't have a relationship with Him, and you want one, and you want to be forgiven, and you want to have eternal life, this next verse or two is for you. This is in Ephesians again. And he says, "For by grace, or as charity, or as a gift, you have been saved through faith," your faith. And that is not of yourselves, your salvation. And that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. So no one will boast. Okay. All you got to do is place your faith in Jesus. Decide to put your trust in him for salvation. And it's done. Here's one other verse on this. This is in John 6. And this is Jesus speaking here. Okay? He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. And this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself, Jesus, will raise him up on the last day. That's all you got to do. Let's come to Jesus. And you don't have to get out of your chair to do it. You just talk to him silently right where you are. And that'll take. And you'll be changed. Or driving on the way home. Thinking about him. Laying in bed. Whatever. One more thing. The gospel of God's grace spreads by people who've been changed by it, primarily. You don't see TV advertisements, or you don't hear radio advertisements saying, want a relationship with God? Do such and such and such, okay? Or any of that kind of stuff. It's spread by mouth, person to person, almost always. Yeah, some people actually just get into the Bible, read it, and God speaks to them, and they wind up getting saved. But that doesn't happen that often. It's almost always by word of mouth from somebody else who's already been changed by the message. You think of Epaphras. He may have heard it from some people he just met. He may have been going to a ball game or whatever. Who knows? And got to talk to somebody, and they're all excited. What are you excited about? Well, we just accepted the Lord. You believe that? Yeah, there is really a God, and we know him now. Okay? I don't know how he accepted. I don't know who he talked to. I don't know what he heard. But somehow or another, he heard the truth. He heard the message of grace. And you guys, every one of you that know the Lord, you got a story too. And you are the world's best expert on your story. And all you need to do is try to tell people your story when you get the opportunity. And they don't have to say, yeah. They don't have to say anything. They may say, it's okay. I don't need to hear that. And you politely say, okay. You haven't lost anything. But you know your story. And you can tell it to other people in the right circumstances and just tell them. You know, you might want to check it out yourself sometime. And that's how the message gets done. That's how the message gets out. And when you get an opportunity, do what you can to pass it on to others. And I'll tell you what will motivate you to do that. You think about who passed it on to you. What was the situation? Where were you? What were they doing? Were they in a rough way? Were they in a good way? But they passed it on to you. They stepped out. And God tells us, freely you received, freely give. Okay? That's it. I used to live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I remember going to the YMCA there. And there was this black dude. We used to play basketball and everything. Not just me and him. A lot of guys did. But I'd hear this black guy. He's a really great guy. You could hear him in the shower, in the locker room, okay? Here's what he'd do. He'd say, there ain't nothing like the Lord. Ain't nothing like the Lord, man. Yeah, praise the Lord, you know, or whatever, okay? But his phrase was, there ain't nothing like the Lord. Well, I was about that far from the Lord. I wasn't even close, okay? But it had an effect on me. But the effect it had was, And I knew the guy, you know. This is not a dumb man, okay? This is a sharp guy. And he means what he's saying. He wouldn't do that if he didn't, okay? It had an effect on me. Now, you can try it yourself. You can say the same words. I don't know. Right circumstances. Go to the gas station. Whatever works. What I'm saying, be real. That's what he was doing. He was simply being real. Okay. There was a guy I worked with. He told me the message. Other people told me the message. And sooner or later, I said, yeah, I got to check this out. It's a great opportunity. We've got to do this. And I'm dead serious when I say we've only got so much time. And the time moves fast. I can hardly believe the time's moved this fast for me. So don't waste all the time. Take advantage of the opportunity. And you'll never regret it. Okay, I'm done. If you're a first-time guest, there's a couple of books over there on that welcome table where they'll give you one of these books. One of them's called How Good Is Good Enough, which is a great book, and Discovering God, which is also a great book. Either one of them is an easy read, and they're biblical. They're easy to read. They tell you what you need to know if you need to know how to know the Lord. If you're a guest here, or if you're not a guest, when you came in, somebody should have given you a feedback card. Fill it out if you feel like it and give us some feedback. We need all the help we can get, so tell us what you think. They're going to be passing a hat or a bag around here in a little bit. If this is your fellowship and you want to put money in it, that's up to you. If you're a guest here or a visitor, we don't want your money. Just keep your money, okay? I heard somebody say one time, you don't invite people to your house for dinner and then give them a bill for $15, right? So anyhow, they're going to pass the hat around. If you're a visitor, skip it. If you got kids in Oasis, they're going to be there until 11:45. You don't have to pick them up till then, but please pick them up then. And in the meantime, you got questions or comments or anything like that, hold your hand up and somebody will bring you a mic and we'll go from there and then we'll pray and we'll be done. I'm done. Now I've even got a stool to settle on.
Kendall, I loved your teaching. When I first heard the message, I was so excited because I never heard that before, ever. And so I told my mom, I told my dad, and they're like, yeah, 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 get away from me kind of thing. But then years later, my mom had terminal cancer. And she actually had a priest share the gospel with her, which Monty heard firsthand, which yeah, there are priests, I don't want to offend anybody, but there are priests who know the gospel and priests who don't know the gospel. And the neat thing was, once she got saved, was all my cousins and family members, none of them, they went to church, but they didn't read the Bible. And so she was telling everybody, you know, I don't care if you go to church, just read the Bible for yourself. Open the Bible, read the Bible. And she was able to lead Monty's sister to Christ, which was very cool. So it's just neat to just pass that message along, you know, to hear it and just to pass it along is very cool.
Thanks. Thanks. Right on.
Hi, Kendall. We get this message of the gospel here at our church a lot. Because it's important, it's central, it's the central theme of the whole Bible. And sometimes I think we get so used to it that it's like this family heirloom that's worth thousands that we just kind of let it collect dust in the corner because we're so used to it, you know? And once in a while, we need to dust that bugger off because it's gorgeous and it's worth so much and we need to share it. And I think that we just need to wake up to that sometimes. We need to realize how important this is and how life-changing this is and how much we've received from having this message, to get excited about it again, to share it again. I think that that's something that all of us experience from time to time. It's just that dusty family heirloom that sits in the corner that we just take for granted.
That's a good comparison. I could not agree with you more. I agree with that 5,000%. Yeah. We take it for granted after a while, and the guy next to is dying, and you don't even talk to him sometimes, you know? Anyhow, I agree. Anybody else?
Yeah, great teaching, Kendall. Colossians 1, that first 8 verses, I remember hearing a teaching on that way back, and it, you know, the good news, that whole idea of good news and the gospel, euangelion, you know, I always, that's how it was always taught to me, just good news. But it's more than just good news. And you brought this up, but I thought it's worth repeating, is that it's good news that's heralded out and it demands a response. And there's that's a very important aspect of that word. And I think a lot of times, just because of the way we translate it and the way it's repeated over and over again, that we forget that it demands a response. Yeah. And, so I thought I'd share that.
Well, that's a great point, too. It does. It demands a response. And no response is a response. Thanks.
Yeah, I was thinking about our neighbor, too, and how, you know, how the gospel went out and he responded to it and his wife responded to it. And then, you know, your point about people, because of the hope that's in us, being able to love other people in that way. I think about, you know, the guys, Jeff and Matt, who went to visit.
Right.
You know, this family that's grieving and had the opportunity then to share Christ with other family members. And I just think of that picture of, and it was because our neighbor guy initiated the conversation, if I have it right. But, you know, you just think about how what you said about people who have been changed by God's love, then he will give you opportunities then to pour that out on other people, and it is living and real,
yeah.
And that happens. And so I think, you know, like Adam was saying, it's not just an heirloom there. It is living, and it is, like it said in that one of those verses there, the gospel is going out, and it's going out and growing in people just as it did when we first heard it.
Right.
So.
Right. Thanks. Yeah, you look at some of these people like you're talking about that they hear the gospel, they hear the good news, they wind up getting saved. Gradually, you start seeing their life change. I was telling you, Jesus is alive right here. You know, this is coming about because of him. Anyhow, thanks. That's good.
I was just thinking about the class that I took way back in 2009. Christian growth class, how I opened my eye, how much I didn't know about God's grace. You know, taking that class really opened my eye to really know how deep the God's love was for all of us and really beginning to understand the Bible really well, you know, much more closely because I thought I knew, but not nearly as I thought I needed to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that class was just a starting point.
That's great, yeah. Yeah, these classes that are offered, you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot there. So, yeah, we need to think about that more. Anybody else? All right, 10 minutes till time to get the kids from Oasis. So, Anybody wants to pray, put up a hand. I'll pray real quick and close this up otherwise.